I'd like to read to you a story entitled The Cap. In spite of enjoying the reputation for being way out, Arnold Schoenberg, my grandfather, was really very much of a traditionalist in many ways. He not only had a profound respect for the musical past, but insisted on passing that respect on to the younger generations, as this story will show. I was born in 1923 in Mödling, some 15 miles from Vienna, a town with winding little streets and houses dating back to the Middle Ages. It was a musical town. Schubert had lived here. And right there in the center, Beethoven had rented his summer quarters from 1818 to 1824. The house I was born in was on Bernhardgasse, where my grandfather, Arnold Schoenberg, lived. That's today the Schoenberg Museum. When I was still an infant, my parents moved with me to a nearby apartment. My brother Hermann was born there 2 years later, and there we grew up. In the fall of 1929, Schoenberg, who was then living in Berlin, spent several days in Vienna, and one morning came to Mödling, where we lived. He was accompanied by a former student, Alban Berg. It was a Sunday, and after one of my mother's good, hearty meals, we all went out for a walk. Our mother led the way with my brother Hermann and me. I remember that it was quite brisk out, and we children were all bundled up in woolen caps and winter coats and went along with our mittened hands stuck deep in our pockets. At a distance behind us promenaded my grandfather, my father Felix Geisler, Alban Berg, and another of Grandpa's former students, Anton von Webern, who also lived in Mödling. It should be noted that my brother and I had very distinct hot and cold feelings about Webern and Berg. Webern never smiled, so we nicknamed him Der Herbst, meaning Mr. Autumn. Berg, on the other hand, who was then composing that very grim opera, Lulu, usually had a congenial smile on his face, and he, a huge man, towering over everyone else, was best remembered by us two children for his presence of chocolates and teddy bears. Our pace was leisurely. All four musical gentlemen to our rear walked with their hands behind their backs, gloved hands because of the cold, talking of their favorite topic, which is all they ever talked about when they were together. On this particular occasion, they were critically dissecting a concert they had recently attended in Vienna, and when heard a good deal about adagios and fortissimos, andantes, and the like. Webern and Berg both spoke quietly in deep, calm tones. Felix, my father, who often punctuated his sentences with the phrase, "Nicht wahr? Nicht wahr? Isn't that right? Isn't that right?" could also be heard from time to time. But, as usual, Grandpa had more to say than anyone else. And whenever he began to hold forth, always loudly and emphatically, or indicated that he wished to speak with a raised hand, the rest of the company fell silent. Grandpa had a very distinctive voice. He spoke in a very high, but at the same time quite masculine tenor, and usually sounded forced, as if it were having trouble getting the words out and had to make a special effort to do so. Whenever he was excited about something or nervous, this song-like Sprechstimme, or speaking voice, became especially pronounced.
Also jetzt werde ich euch eines sagen, so geht es nicht weiter beim Musikverein.
Anyway, on went the musical conversation, with this one saying something and that one saying something else. And when the maestro began, with everyone becoming still and just listening. Our walk had taken us down Mödling's picturesque Hauptstraße, the main street. Now we branched off onto Axenauergasse, one of those crooked, winding streets that are so characteristic of old European cities. On the right hand of this Axenauergasse, the Mödling Brook bubbles along, the very brook in which Schubert's trout once swam. Flanked by massive old chestnut trees, which perhaps had shaded it in that maestro's time. Soon on our left, there was a pretty house, two stories high, with a lovely front lawn and colorful flower beds, indeed very lovely. But after all, just one of many such houses with gardens in Mödling. As we children were about to pass this house, an icy wind came whipping along, causing us to pull our caps way down and sink deeper into our coats. Behind us, the musical discussion had ceased a moment or two before. Now, all of a sudden, as we proceeded, Grandpa's voice rang out, "Hermann!" Indeed, so loudly and shrilly that everyone stopped dead in their tracks and turned to face him. While Hermann, my little four-year-old brother, was the particular object of his attention, it seemed as if the warning or reprimand that was about to issue forth was intended for me as well, in fact, for everyone. Schoenberg's eyes flashed, and his face displayed an utter earnestness of purpose that required unquestioning respect. His index finger pointed imperiously into the air. "Hermann!" Schoenberg repeated in his same high-pitched voice. And here, let me say what he next barked out in German, as I remember it.
"Hermann, nimm deine Mütze ab! Du gehst am Haus vom Beethoven vorbei!"
"Hermann, take off your cap! You're passing by Beethoven's house!"